This is Vatican Radio. An American priest ministering in Egypt has said Christians there fear for their safety and talk about leaving their homeland in the wake of the Palm Sunday terrorist attacks that killed dozens of people north of Cairo. Ahead of Pope Francis's visit to Egypt, Father Doug May told Susie Hodges that several residents of predominantly Christian villages he visited this month are anxious about their future.
Well, partly because of what happened on Palm Sunday with the two Coptic Orthodox churches, there's a wee bit more anxiety than when John Paul II visited in February of 2000. But one of the things that at least was true back then, and I would presume it's somewhat true now, is because the Coptic Rite Catholics and the other six Catholic rites in Egypt are minorities within a minority, because the Coptic Orthodox obviously have a much greater number. And so very often they feel that they're kind of getting it from both sides, both from Muslims as Christians and a wee bit from the Orthodox as a minority group of Christians. But what I've heard in the past is for Coptic Rite Catholics and Catholics in general, the seven different rites that we have here in Egypt, they basically say, this is the first time I'm proud to be both Christian and Catholic at the same time. Because very often they're somewhat defensive about being Christian in a Muslim environment, and they're somewhat defensive about being Catholic among the Orthodox.
Turning to Egypt's Coptic community, how much concern is there about their future, about the situation there, in the wake of that Palm Sunday terrorist attack, which was, of course, was only the latest in quite a long line of terrorist attacks against their community?
Well, the anxiety increases as these attacks increase. The one thing I would say is that even Christians living in Christian villages, there are few Christian villages here, but they still have them. And for instance, I was visiting one where I'd spent time in the past and had friends, and there were about somewhere around 40,000 people. And maybe at least 95, if not 99%, are actually Christian of six different affiliations. And it was the first time I spent time with them, and some of them are fairly successful from having worked in the Gulf states and have a fair amount of money, but it's the first time even the successful ones who have fairly nice houses and a decent lifestyle have said, if I could leave, I would leave. Because I'm tired of feeling vulnerable in a country that I should call my own. Because I'm being tolerated at best, but I'm not being accepted as an equal citizen. And what we're afraid of is, you know, you're walking the streets, you're in the church, somebody may shoot you, somebody may put a bomb in the church. The other thing is, in these villages, they could actually have their water cut off, their electricity cut off, or even the villages sealed off. So whether that's a reality or not, they're all anxious about that as a possibility.
Okay, turning now to the wider picture of the Muslim community at large, what are relations like between Christians, whatever their affiliation, and Muslims in Egypt at grassroots level?
Right, and I've actually just got back from where I had a lot of grassroots, but here's where it kind of hits the road. If the Christian leaders, meaning the Orthodox Catholic or priests or the Protestant ministers, have formed a good relationship with the Muslim leaders, the people of their various congregations more or less follow the lead of the different leaders, whether they be Muslim or Christian. So they kind of set the tone. So if there's an open-minded, very religious, spiritual Muslim leader who feels very confident about approaching Christians and vice versa in terms of Christian leaders, the people more or less also coexist in a very good way. One of my former seminarians, for instance, who has been a priest for over 20 years, I just visited him last Friday. He does prison ministry, and he's been involved in it, got his congregation. And because the Muslims felt that they weren't getting the same kind of services, he actually found a Muslim sheikh, Abdul Rahman, and he's got a new one now, Mahmoud Goma, who actually help him in his prison ministry as Muslims visiting the Muslims, and their congregations are involved. And because they're actually living their faith, both the Catholic side, Catholic Christian, as well as the Muslim, they have become friends with each other because they feel this is how you live your faith. Instead of arguing over dogmas and who's what, you just live your faith as you feel you've been called to live it. So, you know, at the grassroots level, it can be very nice relations, and in other places, it's nobody speaks to anybody and everybody's afraid of everybody.
What do you expect to be the main benefits from Pope Francis's visit to Cairo?
I would say the main thing is going to be just a sense of solidarity. As far as I know, it'll be the first time the Greek Orthodox Patriarch, the Coptic Orthodox Patriarch, and the Catholic Pope will all be together, hopefully maybe even making a common statement about solidarity. And then the other thing is he'll be visiting Sheikh Al-Azhar, Sheikh Taib, and that's following a visit of Sheikh Taib to Rome last year. And one of my former seminarians is the Italian-Arabic translator, as well as the second secretary for the Pope. So he very often shows up in all the pictures because he's the guy standing in between. But I would say that the biggest thing will be a sense of support and solidarity for the Christian community. And if there's any chance of some kind of a common statement coming out of the three patriarchs, meaning Pope Francis being a patriarch of Rome, and possibly if there could be something said with Sheikh Al-Azhar, Sheikh Taib, that would go a long way to at least kind of put the kibosh on some of the extremism. Most extremists won't listen to any of their leaders because technically extremism for me is not a religion. It's an ideology that hides with religion.
That was Father Doug May in Cairo speaking to Susie Hodges.